What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we got a lot going on in the world of sports, but let's talk about those Ravens, now 1-2 on the year. From the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome back to the show Gianna Han. Gianna, how are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Hanging in there on a overcast Monday in Baltimore. We talk about identities, Gianna. Ravens offensive identity. Well, what is it? Ravens defensive identity. Do they have one? So let's talk about identities being identified, if you will, yesterday. Is that the Ravens offense we're going to see? And Ravens defensively, what is their identity right now?
That's such a good question. You know, I think they got a little bit to their identity in that they actually ran the ball, right? That's been Baltimore's identity always. And it's been kind of weird to not see anyone but Lamar Jackson running. But I still feel like there's so much more they could do. You know, you didn't see Mark Andrews at all in terms of the receiving game, and Isaiah Likely barely played a factor. And I just have to think that they'll play a bigger role as this goes along because, you know, those are Lamar's go-to guys typically, and that doesn't just, like, disappear. I think they need to figure out their wide receivers still. I don't think you can be that one-dimensional. But I think it was a starting ground to be like, oh, we do have this. But I guess the answer is that there really isn't that identity yet. They're still doing something different every single game. So I don't know that next game will be that. Sorry, Taylor Swift is singing really loud in the background. Let me go outside. But, yeah, I don't know that next game is going to be like that in terms of the run game. So for the offense, still think they're seeking. And defensively, that sure isn't what they want their identity to be. They played very strong up front through most of the game. But when you make a team one-dimensional, that's usually a good thing. But they haven't been able to crack down the passing game, so it's actually turned out well for other teams. And then all the penalties, especially in the fourth quarter, I don't think you want your identity to be the team that just can't close out a game. So I think maybe they're establishing an identity, but it's not the one that they want.
Gianna, I think that each week it'll be different because I think the Dallas defense dictated that they run the football, and then they were having success. So, you know, they didn't throw it. So I don't have a problem with that. I think the closing out the games, that is a big issue right there.
Well, for sure. I mean, not that Dallas is not a good team, but that's not something you can hold on to. You can't do that every time, and it's going to get exhausting. And you can tell that they weren't happy about it because no one really wanted to talk in the locker room after the game. Everyone got out of there fast or declined interviews, which, you know, normally after a win, you're talking about good things, you know? So that was definitely disappointing for them. A lot of it were penalties. There were still some missed calls, but every team's going to have those. Maybe the Ravens have a little bit more right now, or they feel like they have more, but you have to play through it because it's always going to happen. And they weren't just, you know, penalties for a lot of yards. They were penalties at very bad times. A lot of third down stops were erased because of that. And so just like undisciplined ball has played a huge part in that. And then, of course, again, back to the passing game, they just can't seem to make that stop when they need to. So, yeah, fourth quarter collapses are unfortunately a big part of this team's identity right now.
Well, Gianna, I think the game would have been totally different had Justin Tucker just made the 46-yard field goal. Otherwise, it's 31-6. The momentum is all on the Ravens' side and game over.
I think that's accurate. I think that's a real problem right now. You know, missing some of those long kicks aren't, you know, characteristic of the Justin Tucker everyone thinks of. But, you know, they are long kicks. 46 yards, any good NFL kicker, that should be automatic. And much less one who they say they have all their faith in. They say he's, you know, one of the best in the league. Not taking away from his overall career, but right now that's not good enough. You need to be able to know that you can, you know, kick that ball and make that field goal. And I think that off the top of my head, I'm not remembering the exact drive, but there was another drive where you could tell that they just, like, didn't, because it was something that they could have kicked a field goal, and instead they elected not to. And that's not good. Like, you want to know that if it comes down to it, you can at least get three on the board, because you're right. That's the difference, you know, between the Cowboys potentially having gotten that ball back and just getting in the field goal zone, which is not very close for them because they have a kicker that can make it really far. That could have been really bad. So luckily they were able to kill the clock with that final drive. But, I totally agree with you there.
So right now we have a concern level with the defense in the fourth quarter. And to me, special teams. I mean, we got the missed field goal. Then, you got the onside kick that was screwed up. And then when they do kick off to them, Dallas, when they need a return, which they got out to the 32, they get a penalty by Chris Board. So, I mean, there's a lot of mistakes being made in teams right now, too.
I would agree with that. And, you know, I think Jordan Stout had a very big game after getting called out by his coach last game, which good for him. But just if you look at the season as a whole, he's been inconsistent. Tucker's been inconsistent. And even when they're not, the penalties have been a problem. Penalties have just been a problem everywhere, honestly. And then the onside kick, the thing for me is that it's not a surprise anymore. And, you know, before you could probably predict, like, oh, they might onside kick it here. But they straight up have to be like, we are going to onside kick. We are not going to do the new kickoff. We're going to do this. And the team knows. And then Zay Flowers just, I don't know, just goes right through his hands. And no one is there to back him up either and jump on that ball. So I remember at the beginning of last year, they struggled on special teams, but I don't have the numbers to back it up, but this just feels, maybe because, you know, recency bias, but this feels way more concerning because it feels like some things that are fixable, but also some things that might not be. If Tucker's leg can't hold up. He was making those in training camp. I will add that. He was making really long field goals in training camp, yeah. But I just, like, if he's losing that power, I don't know what the answer is there. So, I would say that special teams is definitely a big question mark right now.
Gianna Han, Baltimore Banner. What's happening on the Baltimore Banner this Monday? It is a post-victory Monday for the Ravens. Let's stress that.
Well, Jonas and I will be both making our way back from Texas through the whole day. We both have connections. So, John Harbaugh will be talking. Kyle June, our columnist, will be out there asking him his questions. And as always, he will bring you the reality check, looking at hot takes about the Ravens around the league and or around the country, and looking at it with a different perspective of whether those are actually realistic or not. For example, after the fire Harbaugh campaign started last week, he took a little look at that. So, keep an eye out for what Kyle's got coming.
Gianna, appreciate the time as always. You and Jonas have a safe trip back to the old Charm City here. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Good talking to you guys.
Gianna Han, everybody, out there in Big D, it sounds like, still coming back. And, hey, she talked about Zay Flowers. Isn't that called the hands team?
Yes, it is.
Went right through his hands.
You know what's...
was relevant to some level.
You know what's funny, Bob, is I don't, you know, because I've been on that before, and a lot of times, if you're sitting there and you're saying, damn, I hope they don't kick it to me.
That thing was kind of fluttering.
The second time, he scooped it like Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, he looked like a stud on that one. Ravens win, Orioles lose. Orioles have lost five straight series. Ravens, John Harbaugh meeting with the media later today. We'll have that for you tomorrow when we reconvene on Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll come back, whip around, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Got Vinny's keys. Look back at those. Hey, the Ravens won, but did they hit the amount of keys that we were expected? And that a fun-ass trip with Nolan McGraw here on The Fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Hades with brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the whip around here on this Monday. If you're on the phones, we'll get you next segment with phone calls. You want to join us, feel free to do so at 410-583-1057. Ravens are 1-2. Orioles have lost 5 straight series. Terps are 3-1 because if you missed it this past Saturday on 105.7 The Fan, Ty Felton's tremendous season continues on.
Melody Edwards back of the gun, gets the snap, looks to the left, throws to the left corner of the end zone, got it, touchdown, Ty Felton. How about that? And that for Felton is number 5 of the year.
Johnny Holiday on the call, Maryland Radio Network. Ty Felton, 14 catches, 157 yards, and that touchdown. Billy Edwards, Maryland quarterback, 28 out of 32, 328, 2 touchdowns. Maryland improves to 3-1 on the season. And I know Coach Loxley was talking after the game about Heisman buzz for Ty Felton. And I'm a Heisman voter, not trying to make it all about me. We got a lot of football left to be played, and Maryland's going to have to start beating some big-level teams, and Ty Felton's going to have to do Jerry Rice-type stuff to get into the Heisman talk, but he has been brilliant through 4 games.
Oh, he's been awesome for the Terps. He's their go-to guy. He makes plays. When they need a play, he makes it. Yeah, he's fun to watch. Yeah, and Bob, he talked about like how he trained and stuff this offseason because he's so much better than he was last year. Congrats to him thus far.
Yeah, Maryland 3-1, as we said, at Indiana this coming Saturday at noon. Indiana's 4-0. They're 7-point favorites at home against the Terps. We'll talk about that as the week progresses. But how about a tip of the cap to Navy as well? 56-44 over Memphis. Remember, Memphis just beat Florida State. Memphis was undefeated. And Navy, they haven't scored less than 38 points in a game yet. 56, yeah. They're 3-0, running all sorts of crazy old-school offensive schemes there.
And then, Bob, I was listening to the radio because they were Army's undefeated, too. And they're saying that with their schedule and stuff, they could run the table, which would kill Notre Dame because they're independent with Army, Navy, and those people. And if Army or Navy has a better record and rank, then they would go ahead of Notre Dame if they make it to the college playoffs.
And Notre Dame didn't get any favors from Northern Illinois this weekend, which we'll get to when we get to the picks. It's the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Heavyweight championship fight Saturday, Wembley, a stadium, 90,000 plus on hand to watch two Londoners get it on. Daniel Dubois defending his IBF championship that he got because Usyk was stripped. I mean, it's boxing. It's like so stupid. But Anthony Joshua was the favorite. And right out of the gate, he was eating leather until finally Dubois said, enough of this. Even get to 10, they threw in the towel. Daniel Dubois knocked Anthony Joshua down 3 times and then finally finished him in the 5th with a big right hand as Joshua was actually trying to rally a little bit. Face first, sucking canvas.
Yeah,
was Anthony Joshua and all this talk about the Tyson Fury fight. Oh, it was like it was Wilder, it was Fury, it was Joshua, this new golden age of heavyweights. And hey, look, Joshua and Fury met 3 times, or excuse me, Wilder and Fury fought 3 times, but the Joshua-Fury fight, another Londoner fight, probably never comes to fruition. But Daniel Dubois, congratulations to him. Very impressive and dominant performance on Saturday. This day in Orioles history, it is September 23rd, about 1973 in Milwaukee. Let's see here. Terry Crowley, Rich Coggins, home runs. Dave McNally, complete game, 2-1 Orioles. On their way to the AL East. 2016, Oriole Park Cannon Yards against the Diamondbacks. Trumbaugh walk-off homer, bottom of the ninth. Matt Wieters and Pedro Alvarez also went deep as the Orioles made it to the wild card game that year, lost to Toronto. And then a year ago today, Anthony Santander, 3-for-5 with 2 ribbies. John Means had a no-hitter into the seventh inning. I remember this game. It was on a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. And the Orioles edged the Guardians 2-1. If I said Indians, I apologize. I mean, they were only the Indians for the first 57 years I walked the face of the planet. But it's the Guardians now. And John Means, he was outstanding. And we were like, oh, man, wait till he's pitching in the playoffs. And then before they got in, he got hurt. But here we go today. Orioles beat the Guardians 2-1. You got time for a call or you want to wait? Let's get a call in here. It's 410-583-1057. Got Vinny's Keys coming up here in a second. Let's get Rel in Baltimore. Rel, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's a couple of things that I want to touch base on, but real quick, I do want to say this is the most that I've been exciting to watch them play, especially with all the home runs that they've been hitting. You know, bad or good, I'm proud of my birds. I really am, because to me, I feel like they've come a long way.
Now, hey, look, 3 years ago, they were terrible. And here they are about to make the playoffs for the second straight season. They're still a core. I mean, injuries derailed this season. Let's not be ignore the obvious. I mean, this window is still very much wide open. They're going to be good for a while here. So let's enjoy the ride.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, all the naysayers out there, you know, just let up on my birds, man. Just enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Another thing I also want to talk about before I want to get into it, Tucker. What's going on with him, man? Like, I'm not used to seeing him miss these long field goals. And yesterday, seeing him miss, I think it was a 46-yarder,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, what is going on with my man? This is Legatron we're talking about here. Legatron. You know, and I'm used to seeing him to nail those field goals. So I'm like, is this something personal that's going on? Or is this something that's going on that they're not disclosing to the public? Like, what's going on with my man? And one more thing that I also want to talk about is that offensive line, man. Like, I've said this for years, and I'm going to continue to say it until I see some improvement. The Ravens' offensive line has always been shaky. I love my team. They've always been a great team to me, win or lose. However, that offensive line has always been shaky, and this year it's like it's by far horrible. Don't get me wrong, the line had some good and strong moments throughout these last three games, but I feel like part of the record that we have is because of that offensive line not holding up like it should, and also that defense not holding up like it should at the end of games. But that's all, you guys. That's all I wanted to touch base on, and I hope you guys have a blessed day.
All right, Ralph. Thanks, man. Good thoughts there. And, you know, Tucker, you were at training camp.
Yeah.
And he was banging long ones.
He was kicking as good as I've ever seen him kick. And now, you know, in game, I don't know if it's mental now, Bob. It's a mental thing, you know, because he missed those 250-yarders and then the 46. Because a lot of them are on the left hash. But the only thing is the ones he's missed prior to that, I mean, they were close. This one was nowhere even near it. I mean, he shanked it.
Like Elmer Fudd shot that thing before it got there. He blasted away, but the Ravens did survive that. But as we've talked about, if he makes that kick,
it's over.
There's no drama, perhaps, going into the fourth quarter. But they did win. That's all that matters. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. We'll come back, look at Vinny's Keys, take more of your phone calls, then take a funhouse trip with Mr. Electricity. Nolan McGraw, Orioles are off today. Kind of thank God. I need to take a deep breath. I'm assuming they do as well. They go to New York, take it on the Yankees. Yankees are going to clinch the East, and the Orioles are going to clinch a wild card, maybe on the same night.
Vinny and Haney's Keys to the Game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on. And we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
While the Ravens did win, got a little dicier than everyone anticipated, especially given the score going into the fourth quarter. But a win nonetheless. And every Friday before the Ravens play, Vinny Serrato does his keys to victory. So let's find out how many keys were hit. Vinny.
Number one was don't let CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons beat you. Yeah, that was CeeDee Lamb only had 4-for-67. And I don't... Parsons didn't have a sack. So he was kind of a... somewhat of a non-factor. He got pressured one time or two.
I just remember Derrick Henry shoving him down the field a few times.
Yeah, the poor number 21 got embarrassed.
CeeDee Lamb was on the Whambulance big time yesterday, too.
Yes,
doing
he
a lot
was.
Of whining until he dropped that pass in the fourth quarter.
Number two, secondary show up.
No. Wow, three they quarters.
They gave up a lot of yards. 230 in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, the secondary. I thought the secondary. I mean, Marcus Williams still hadn't made a play. He recovered a fumble. That was it.
But it was Nate Wiggins caused the fumble.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, he really hadn't done. I thought that Kyle Hamilton, he was back.
Saw him.
Yes.
Noticed him out there.
Yep. And the thing with Stevens is, Bob, Cook should have caught that touchdown in the end zone no time. I mean, Stevens still can't find a ball. It is what it is. You know, at least he looked back on the one. And then Marlon played a lot on the inside. And Marlon, he missed a tackle in the fourth quarter again. Wiggins, they were going after Wiggins. And they were attacking him, and he gave up a lot of cushion, you know. Got two penalties, gave up passes.
He's a rookie. Two games in.
Yeah, and hopefully he gets better this next game. You know, so the secondary, secondary was in the fourth. They were horrible, but they weren't getting any help on the pass rush either in the fourth quarter.
Josh Allen will be here Sunday night. Got to tighten that up a little bit.
All right, and then next one, make Dak move in the pocket. I guess he had to move a little bit. He was completing a lot of, the first three quarters. Fourth quarter.
He was under pressure a lot.
He was. He was moving around.
Sacked three times.
Next one, offense over 150 yards rushing. They definitely got that. They had 274. And I thought that would help the offensive line, which it did. Now, over 65 yak yards, because I said they don't tackle well. I think they got that.
Yeah, between the big Aguilar catch we talked about, also a couple of screens that were successful.
Yeah, and I think Kohler's was kind
Kohler's,
of a... Yeah.
Kohler's, you know, on the boot. And the next one, have the better kicker. That wasn't close. Aubrey's a beast, isn't he? I mean...
Stud. Him and Bucker... Carlson.
And Bucker missed a PAT last night.
Yes, he did. But this kid, Aubrey.
I think Aubrey's like 10 for 10 now or something like that?
It's like 15 for 15 beyond 50, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the new Justin Tucker right now. So, yeah, those. So the don't let CeeDee Lamb Parsons beat you. They got that. Secondary didn't show up. Make Dak move. They did. Over 150 yards rushing. That's three. Over 65 yak yards, that's four. Better kicker, no. So they got four of the six. So you win those games.
Okay. Cover the spread, hit the over if you had that sort of thing going on in your life yesterday. But Ravens are up. Now you get ready for Buffalo, another primetime extravaganza coming up Sunday night, M&T Bank Stadium. And Buffalo plays tonight against Jacksonville, one of the two Monday night games. And you also have Washington taking on Cincinnati. So the Bengals looking for their first win of the season as well. And the Ravens go there, what, in 2 weeks?
Yes, they do.
So things do not get easier for the Baltimore football team. The Baltimore baseball team is off today in the Bronx. Three-game set. Then they go to Minnesota. By the way, Saturday's game against the Twins has been moved to a primetime Fox. Extravaganza.
Probably is not going to mean anything.
The Orioles will probably have well clinched by then. Wild card. Guess Twinkies might be trying to hold off Detroit or Kansas City. We'll see, but let's get out to the phones. We have time for a call. Let's go to the phones. Go to, what does that say, Florida. Yeah, I'm blind. Paul in Florida. Paul, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing today? Nice to hear you're both back and hopefully healthy.
Yep. I'll take what we can get.
You know, I was thinking about the Orioles and the issues they're having with the young players, and I was kind of thinking back over the years when we would introduce the young superstars on the team, you know, going back Cal Ripken, Manny, even back to Brooks, which was before my time. But they had a lot of veterans, so these young guys could come in and learn from the veterans and learn from their mistakes, be, you know, mentored, all those things, where if you look at this year, they're just throwing so many of these young guys. They really don't have a lot of veterans to learn from. You know, one guy here, one guy there. But, you know, a team of veterans where these young guys can learn from. And I'm wondering, again, I'm no psychologist, and I am not an expert in baseball, but this is the first time I can ever remember when you had so many young guys together, and there's just not a lot of people to pull from. And the other thought I have is, if this goes south, mark my word, next year Cal Ripken will be the president of the baseball operations for the Baltimore Orioles.
Ahead of Mike Elias, I'll go ahead and take a little small wager on that. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, Paul, thank you for the call. Trying to live in the past, man, with Cal Ripken. But they have young veterans. Santander.
Yep.
Mountcastle, Cedric Mullins. Are they grizzled veterans? No. But they came up through the suckage years and took their lumps and now part of this renaissance. Injuries have been a major part of their problem here. It is what it is. But their second half offense has been offensive. They were 0-for-8 yesterday with runners in scoring position. Their veteran closer imploded in July and August and is now off the team in Craig Kimbrell. It's just the way that it is.
Bob, do you think we see, if it continues through the playoffs too, will there be a change in hitting coaches for next year?
Well, coaches, I know you pointed out the 17 that they have. Yeah. I think they need to reevaluate because last year they went from middle of the pack in homers to leading baseball for most of the year in that category, but going from one of the, they were the best team last year with runners in scoring position to being absolutely dreadful. And it's not like, again, 82 games, they're 37-45. That's not a small sample size. That's more than half a season. We'll come back, Funhouse, phone calls. We got news from the Nats coming up, top of the hour. Good to hear from John Harbaugh, among others. Buy or sell, where's the Monday money? Hopefully counting that. Then Jared Dubin from CBSSports.com talks some NFL. Minnesota Vikings are 3-0. Who in the world saw that one coming? Herbal Club there. So there's plenty to get to. Let's get out to the phones before we get to the Funhouse. Let's go to Q in Pikesville. Q, what is up?
Good day, fellas.
What's up, man?
First and foremost, man, it will be your worst nightmare, Bob.
What's that?
What you were saying last week as far as us clinching at the expense of y'all hands. So it'll be more bubbly in the BX due to y'all.
But, you know, the irony, they might both be popping champagne that night. Orioles by backing in, and the Yankees are winning the division.
Yeah, y'all don't count, though.
It counts here. Hey, 3 years ago, the Orioles were the worst team in baseball. They're about to go to the playoffs for the back-to-back years for the first time since 97. Let us take our victory lap, Q.
True. You got that. Now, also, with the Yanks, I think that it'll come down to two rookies like the Jets was 2 seasons ago with Luis and Wells, Austin Wells. I think one of those two will be the rookie of the year.
Yeah, Luis
Heel. I know y'all got one of y'all guys. Huh? What'd you say?
Luis Heel, who's had a big year for them, the pitcher.
Yeah, and Austin Wells. So it'll be out of them, too. Real quick before I get out of here, Benny, I don't know if you caught the game comments after the game with Antonio Pierce.
Yes, I did.
He was saying,
yeah.
He was low-key throwing Devontae under the bus. So I'm asking you, before the trade deadline, how long do we the public see before Devontae is a Jet? Is it any week now or what? Take it easy, fellas.
Hey, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, they got a bromance going way back. But for people that may not have missed it, or may have missed it, rather, Oakland, Las Vegas got blown up by Carolina and the Red Rocket there. But Antonio Pierce, there no holds barred on his team.
Yeah, he was saying that the players made business decisions towards the end of the game, which means they quit. And he said film is going to be fun this week. So he's going to be chewing some ass this week. And Adams, I mean, they got Mike Williams, you know, and they got Wilson. I don't see them giving
up. Alan Lazard.
Yeah, I don't. And Lazard's playing well. I don't see them. They need a pass rusher. They need to get that pass rusher back. Yeah, I don't see them doing that.
Hassan Reddick, who you think has leverage now, right? With Johnson out for the year.
Yeah, but last game, Bob, they had a bunch of sacks.
Well, that Will McDonald guy's playing like Lawrence Taylor right now. Nolan, you want to say hi to the people? What's up, man? How you doing over there?
I'm doing all right. Hey, the Ravens won. Same issues would have existed had they lost the game, but you sit at 0-3, your season's, you know, essentially over. So just be happy you're 1-2. you have a chance to actually rebound from your mistakes. I have a hard time pinpointing any one thing that's wrong with this team. It seems like a collection of errors on a weekly basis at this point. You know, defense giving up late leads, offense getting away from their identity when it matters most, and then you give up an onside kick. I mean, when does that ever happen? That's a play with a under 5% success rate
and
in
now,
recent history.
You give that wrong. Don't they tell you that they're doing it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They knew it was coming.
Right. Yeah.
And Norm, the other thing, 13 penalties, 10 in the second half.
Yep, penalties, and most of them in the second half, like you said. Tucker misses one from inside 50. I list all that out. Now I'm surprised they did win after listing out all that stuff that went wrong. But, it's not a recipe for success. And the thing is, in all three games, it has been a collection. There hasn't been one individual thing that I can point my finger to in all three games as a baseline negative. It's been just a collection of errors.
Yeah, like Harb's always has been saying, inconsistent. They've been inconsistent.
Yep. And he consistently said that last week, that they are inconsistent. According to ESPN, bet the spread against Buffalo right now off the board because the Bills play tonight against the Jacksonville Ball Club. We got time for a funhouse, Nolan. You make the call,
man. Yeah, let's do a few here.
You're running fast.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, take the W, but are the Cowboys really that bad? They beat up on Cleveland in week one. Cleveland goes on to lose to the Giants of all teams, hoping the win for the Ravens leads to momentum. But there are way too many penalties, missed field goals. Defense can't hold up in the fourth quarter or the middle of the field. They continue to get exposed.
All those things are true. You know, the biggest plus is they went on the road and they won a game. And they got their first win, so they kind of got that monkey off their back, so you can kind of take a deep breath. So the stress level around the building is a lot less this week than it was the last couple weeks. So hopefully that they can grow and build on it. I mean, they all of them talked about how great their offensively, at least their practices were last week. If I was a receiver or whatever, you know, it'd be like I had a great 7-on-7 all week because I didn't get it. Andrews, what do you think Andrews is thinking?
I'm thinking right around the same things that his fantasy football owners are thinking.
Oh, yeah. I've already got a couple calls from my family that have had Andrews.
And old likely wasn't lighting up the stat sheet either.
He had one target. He had one target. And you know, Andrews probably saying, why don't you give me a 50 or 60 number if that's all I'm going to do is block?
What else you got, Noel?
Another texter here says, if you're up 21 points in the fourth quarter, defensively, you have to play three or four deep safeties on every snap. Force the quarterback to go with a short and under read every time. Keep the ball in front of you and keep that clock ticking. It's impossible to come back from that size deficit unless you have big chunks at a time, which is what the Ravens gave up.
They did. They did. And the onside kick. I mean, because then they were on the field back to back, and then that killed it. That defense played a lot of plays, and they're doing a lot of chasing and running around. But, yeah. Nobody in the secondary made a play. The only one, would have made a play? Was it Adarius Washington that Cooks grabbed and tackled?
Which, he would have had the pick, yeah. Pass interference.
Otherwise, no, they didn't make a play. There was no sacks, anything like that. You know who made plays was the Cowboys were making plays. And then LeVar made a play at the end. Couple.
And lastly, here on the Orioles, texter says, the assumption that the O's are assured the top wild card spot seems premature to me. Detroit is on fire, finishes with games against the Rays and White Sox. 5-1, not unlikely for them. The O's would need to go 2-4 to stay on top. And given that the Yankees and Twins have more to play for, I think it could be a steep hill to climb.
I'm not going to get that dire with that. They're four games up right now for the second wild card. They'd have to totally collapse. Now, they have lost five straight series, but they haven't lost like seven straight games, which would be a colossal end to the season. You know, get that playoff spot, get Mountcastle back for the Bronx, and then try to stabilize things heading into whoever you face in the playoffs, and I'm still going to assume they're going to host the first round here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, but to be determined, as they say. We're going to come back, talk some Ravens news from the nest style. How about Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh talking about yesterday's win? By yourself, 12-15. Let's count that dough. Hopefully on this Monday. And then Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, talking about 3 weeks into the NFL season. Not quite done yet. Two games tonight. And then the American League East and Beyond report coming up at 12:45. National League, it's down to four teams for three wild cards. We'll talk about that.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.